Quickly along on a Friday here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey with us as well. MLB just got done with Rivalry Weekend that nobody knew about?
Yeah, they did, though. It was a great success. Best television ratings and attendance in decades, they said, for Rivalry Weekend. So, yeah, over a million people went in. Highest pre-Memorial Day crowd since, like, 2018. Highest Sunday Night Baseball ratings since, like, 2018 or something like that. So, no, everybody knew about it. It was great. It hit. It was a good deal for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Sunday night, the Yankees and Mets lost the ratings were to... What was it, Saturday? No, yeah, Saturday's Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100,000 more people watched that than they did. Now, what channel was that Angel Reese game on? Was that on ESPN as well? So same network and whatnot. So Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark taking over. Caitlin Clark's taking over, not Angel Reese. Let's not confuse things here. We're watching for Caitlin Clark, okay?
Did you see Ms. Reese's stat line last night?
No, did she miss like 18 shots?
It's 2 points. 0 for 8 from the field.
Oh, boy.
And I think like 12 rebounds.
Boy.
I just saw a clip.
She's not a good player.
No, I saw a clip of her getting her own rebound 4 different times, and she got blocked on 3 of them.
That's okay.
Oh, wow.
One sequence. Yeah.
One sequence of getting a rebound block.
It's like, kick it out, dude. Pass it out.
Well, but I mean, that would be if somebody else would do something good, right?
Exactly.
But that's why Caitlin Clark is the best at what she does, because the Fever won last night. I can't believe we're talking about this and that we all know this, but that's where Caitlin Clark has taken this game, which is awesome. The Fever won last night. Caitlin Clark did not hit 1 3-point shot.
Wow.
Not 1 3-point shot in that game last night, and they still won because that's a team.
Exactly.
She's kicking it out, not getting the stuff blocked in her face like Angel Reese. I can't get over to where we are with this conversation already in the WNBA season. Angel Reese is not a very good basketball player. Caitlin Clark is the best we've ever seen. That's the comparison. That's there's nothing else. That's it.
I actually watched a lot of that game last night because I had money on the line with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
did. 0 threes. I had over four and a half. Or 3.5.
People are liking Paige down in Dallas, too. Did you see the television rating she's putting up? Paige Beckers, huge numbers for her as well.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is the number two.
Yes, exactly.
In this league. She's a great player. She was the number one pick. I mean, perfect kind of foil for Caitlin Clark and whatnot. And so people are falling in love with her already, and she's performing on the floor. If Angel Reese actually was a good player, then this would be a fun conversation. It's a nice rivalry, probably the best individual rivalry in sports. But I mean, it's like the 2002 Royals trying to beat up on the 2015 Royals. Yes. Like, it's just a bad matchup.
So if they did that one weekend of a year in the NFL, would that be Kansas City Buffalo Sunday at 3:25 is rivalry weekend?
I think if the NFL had their way, that's our rival, Buffalo, right? Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to argue that if the NFL had their way and they did rivalry weekend, it would be Chiefs and Buffalo? Because I do think that is the national rivalry for the Chiefs right now is Buffalo. I think there are two ways to look at rivalries. There's the generational rivalries, and then there's the in-the-moment rivalries. And I think, and I'll just use from an Andy Reid perspective, since Andy Reid has been here and came in 2013 as the coach of this team, I think we've always had the Raiders and the Broncos as the true rivals to the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are generational rivalries. Whether you're in your 20s like Mac, 30s like Dusty, 40s like me, the Raiders and the Broncos are always going to be those teams that are just going to be your rivals because they have been. That's a generational rivalry. Mm-hmm. Then you have the in-the-moment rivalries. To me, when Andy Reid took over, we wanted to be Pittsburgh and New England. Those are the two teams ahead of us. Got to be Pittsburgh. Got to be New England. Then as Bill Belichick started to date Jordan and things went south in New England back in 2019, they kind of fell off. They were no longer a rival to the Chiefs. And I think you can say the same thing about Pittsburgh. Once Big Ben left and that kind of went a little bit to the south, if you will, they're not necessarily that rival to the Chiefs because we've surpassed those two programs. Now the new in-the-moment rivalries are the Bengals because their fans suck and the Buffalo Bills because they're really good. And I think Baltimore's kind of a rivalry as well. So you've got those in-the-moment rivalries versus generational rivalries. And I think the NFL, if they were picking rivalry weekend, I personally believe, and I could be totally wrong about this, I think they would pick a rivalry that is an in-the-moment rivalry, and that's why I think for rivalry weekend, we'd see Mahomes versus Josh Allen. That's what a rivalry is all about, right? I wish there was, like, you know, some pee and vinegar between the two guys like there is between Reese and Clark, because that's how a rivalry, like, if you're two really good players like Allen and Mahomes are and then hate each other, that makes it even better. But I think the league would say, if this is rivalry weekend, they would say Buffalo is our rival in this one.
The only problem with that, now, obviously, we've been fortunate enough that they have won their division the same amount of, not the same amount of times, but they're winning their division the same as the Chiefs are with this current era in their franchises. But there's a chance that game just wouldn't happen. Whereas, like, baseball, everybody plays everybody now. Mm-hmm. So they're able to do this, right? Because the Cardinals aren't in the Royals division, but they're considered their rival because same state's, you know, two different teams.
Yeah. Now, football can fix that, too, with this Week 18 that's coming up. You could take an entire weekend and just make it a rivalry weekend, like the last September, maybe, of every football season is that rivalry weekend. So you know you're always going to have a rivalry type of game. And whether it's a division game, depending on who the team is, or if it's Buffalo, or if it's Cincinnati, like it worked so good in baseball. Like, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe how awesome it was for Major League Baseball to have these rivalry series and games. We had 90,000 at the K this past weekend because of it, because it was the Cardinals.
Actually, it was 89,000.
And change. Yeah. I'm rounding up.
But the thing is, though, is that do you think, trying to figure this out,
you can sell to some other streaming network Netflix gets rivalry weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, just don't name it rivalry package or you might have somebody download the wrong thing.
Yes.
I will say this. Do you think that, because let's just start picking apart.
Yeah.
Are the Chiefs in Buffalo bigger rivals than any team in their division is a rival?
Yes.
Like, do you think Chiefs and Buffalo are more rival than Chiefs and Broncos or Buffalo, New England?
Yes, I do because Buffalo is in our way. The Raiders and Bills, or not Bills, but the Raiders and Broncos and that other team in the division, they've not been in our way at all. Buffalo and Cincinnati have been in our way, and that's how I view the rivalries, right? The teams that are kind of in your way, that are challenging you, that you're going toe-to-toe with, that you're trying to beat to be on top, the Raiders and Broncos haven't been those teams. Now, maybe they become those teams again, and that would be fun, but as of right now, they haven't become those teams. They're not those teams, so that's why I look at the Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens more as a rival than I do what's going on in the West, because those schlebs haven't done anything.
But to piggyback on what you said, where you want piss and vinegar between Mahomes and Allen, you have all of that in your division, right? You have Oakland stomping on the field, beating you on Christmas Day, also taking a bus around your stadium.
Yeah, but how many of those people are still around? I don't think anybody's on that Raider team from those moments.
But it's to the Raiders. Yeah, it's the, like, Raiders did it.
It's now part of the fabric of their culture, just like it is to hate them.
In the DNA.
Yep.
The Broncos, right? Mm-hmm. You beat them with a blocked field goal, then they house you in Week 18 where nobody plays, but they carry it as if it's a championship. That's piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Buffalo loses in 13 seconds. Mahomes and Allen are hugging and crying in the field saying, hey, man, love you, buddy. Hey, see you next year. We'll do this again. That ain't a rivalry to me. Now they play back and forth. Plus,
we beat them every time.
And in the playoffs, it's not a rivalry because the Buffalo Bills never win.
Yeah, but they beat us every regular season.
In the regular season, it's not a rivalry because the Chiefs never win.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' only game I believe they are not favored this year is against Buffalo. Buffalo now is favored in every game this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you have to keep it. But I think this is where, when we've had the debate all week with, like, who's the Chiefs' biggest rival, which is funny that it's full circle at the end of the week, this is where you could pump this back into existence. If you think it's the Raiders, play all that stuff, build it up.
There has to be that buy-in, though. Like, the reason the Raider rivalry
the
was
NFL's
so
good
big,
at doing that.
But everybody, like, Andy isn't a buy-in to the rivalry guy like Marty was,
but
right?
Andy doesn't have to do that.
Doesn't have to. But Marty did, and they bought into it, and they made the fans feel that way, right? And again, we can call Dana and ask him every day about the Raiders and how much he hates them to this day. It has to be a bought-in thing. Like, when we had Raider Week back in the day, you just knew it was different around Kansas City. Everybody knew the Raiders were coming up that week, right? We don't necessarily do that anymore because the Raiders have been to the playoffs two times, we said, since 2002.
Yeah.
And no wins since 2002. Like, a rivalry to me has got to be somebody that challenges you. The Raiders have been a nuisance, and we've had to waste time playing eight quarters against them for the last 20 years, every year. So that's how I kind of view the Raiders in this one. Like I said, it's generational rivalries versus at-the-moment rivalries. And I think the NFL likes to capitalize in at the moment, because you tell me what game is going to generate bigger numbers, Chiefs and Buffalo or Chiefs and Raiders, right? Or Chiefs and Broncos. And it's always going to be Chiefs and Buffalo.
But again, that's ratings. It's not rivalry. Like, yeah, Chiefs and Buffalo, that's a good game. That's two good teams playing against each other that don't necessarily hate each other. The fan bases might, but the rivalry between the Chiefs and Broncos, like, you could play that blocked field goal for an entire week straight, and by the time you got to Sunday, both teams ready to run through a wall and play again. Whereas, like, you throw the 13-second game, like, yeah, it was a couple years ago. But, like, Broncos have always been there, from Vaseline on their jerseys, from Jake Plummer running a bootleg, from John Elway looking like a horse, to Peyton Manning running dominant in the four-year span. Like, I would pump in the veins of fan bases and be like, yeah, inside Kansas City, everybody knows, and Denver, they know that those two teams hate each other. But how many people outside know that? Well, here's a left-handed pass on fourth down with Von Miller trying to tackle you. Here is Dante Hall looking like the human joystick against a kickoff return. Oh, here's John Elway beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. Here's 97, the one seed against the four seed in Arrowhead, losing to Denver, and the franchise wins back-to-back titles. Neil Smith, who did the George Brett swing that wore the tape over his nose, left you, went and won two titles with your rival. Like, you could pump that into existence.
You absolutely could. The only problem is that Denver, up until this moment in time, has been a dead stick for the last decade. They haven't lived up to their end of the bargain.
They're coming.
And I think when you have a rivalry.
We got a glimpse of it.
We did. No, they, and again, all of this is cyclical.
Yes.
All of this changes, right? All of this constantly changes. And so if you're a team like the Broncos, you've been done for 10 years. You hold up your end of the bargain, then maybe we can have a conversation about this. But until Denver and Oakland show up to the party, they're a nuisance right now.
And the Broncos have won twice in 2 years. But he had the flu. But they didn't play their starters. You know, Denver, two wins, baby.
That's all they care about.
Hit it, Mac.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, Mac, do your thing, Daddy.
One word on a...
Well, maybe, loud.
Yeah, there's the thing that I need to turn down. Wrong pot.
Hold on.
One word on a Friday. Okay, one word on this quote from Saquon.
Idiotic.
The quote from Saquon Barkley is, I think we're... This is on 2024 Eagles. I think we're a top five team of all time. One word.
Idiotic. You're not a top five team of all time.
All time.
All time is tough. Top five team in the last 10 years, 100%.
Sure, yes.
Top five team last year, I'd give it to them.
I mean, they have the best roster in football.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think they're a top five team of all time.
No.
Of this century?
And I was just going through like teams that I've seen play. I'm not even going back to the 72 Dolphins because that's a joke. The 99 Rams, the 2007 Patriots.
93 Cowboys, 94 Cowboys.
The 89 San Francisco 49ers, the 90
Patriots.
Giants. I said that, the 07 Patriots, 99 Rams. And I would put the 2019 Chiefs on that list. Our first Super Bowl championship team, I still think, is the best overall team.
My one word would be premature.
Do it for an extended period of time, bro.
Was that a fake photo that Madden covered is going to be him doing the hurdle backwards?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
I saw a cover of Madden 2026, and it was him doing the hurdle.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like black and gray, and then he's in the actual color.
That's cool.
I could be wrong though. Think smarter, not harder.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You don't have to make it a QB every year. One word on this: the MLB. This is from Codify Baseball. This is the 2025 playoff chances.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals sit at 50% chance to make the playoffs. One word on the Royals' chances being a coin toss.
Low. I think based on everything that I'm looking at in baseball right now, the Royals are one of your better teams. To only have a 50% chance of making it in the playoffs seems very low.
It's fine. I'm okay with that. They have a 50-50 shot. You're the only other team in your division that has an actual the highest percentage outside of Detroit, who I think is like 94%. That's what happens when you win 33 games in your first 50. It's pretty sick. You're the best team in baseball. 50% chance going into June almost. You're going to tell me it's heads or tails, you're getting in the playoffs? I'll take that. I'm okay.
Yeah, 98% for the Dodgers, 96 Yankees, 94 Tigers, like you said, and then 89 Phillies.
Yeah. And then the other team in the division is below us, right? It's Guardians
37%. Yeah. Sizable difference.
What is
there.
The Twins?
They're not on the list.
They're not on the list.
All right.
Nope.
White Sox is
negative.
You got the Astros, 51%.
Yeah, good for them.
Right over the Royals. One word on this audio.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Caxton's a line drive. A rocket out to right. And that one's out of here. The first AAA home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
First bomb in AAA, baby.
I'm drawing a blank on the name of Brockmeyer. That's my first.
Great show for one season.
For one season. And then it really went downhill. Brockmeyer. That's okay. My one word for that.
I'll have to look that up.
Futuristic. It's coming. It's coming. Before you know it, it is going to be here. Our boss once told me in this room that Buffalo is going to blow the Chiefs out in the AFC Championship game. My boss once told me to my face in his office, Dusty, I love the CAG stuff, but you do realize he will not be here until 2026. Steven Spector, future is on the rise. Jack Caglione will be here by the end of June. Mark my words.
Bob, are you there with him? You've been pretty set on 2026, but obviously new developments.
I think a lot depends on the trade market. I think a lot depends on what he does. I mean, MJ hit a home run last night, too. So
he did.
MJ's got 22, 6'5", 250 with a good culture of attitude.
Absolutely. We'll just let him tell us when he's ready to come up here, and then he'll come up.
Codeine Gold had Jim Callis on yesterday, MLB Pipeline.
I had one of those on my hand once, a callus. It was awful after shoveling. Ugh.
He talked about Caglione. He thinks he may be ready too. Here's some audio. One word.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, Pete's, they're both Florida Gators. I think, we're talking offensively, so I get it. I mean, he's obviously a left-handed hitter. I think he's a better hitter than Pete. I mean, I'll go along with the power. I think he's a better hitter and a better athlete than Pete Alonso. So I guess I'm saying that he's
wow.
– I think he probably winds up being better than Pete Alonso, or at least has if I had to guess, I would say – and I really like Pete Alonso. I think he's probably going to be a better player than Pete Alonso when all is said and done.
All right, let's go. I'll take that right now. You just give me Pete Alonso right now, I'm in. The question I keep having for everybody is, where's Vinny going to play when this is all said and done? Because I do think Cags will probably be your first baseman. They'll get him acclimated in the outfield. Okay. And he's 6'5", 225. Like, that does not scream outfielder to me, right?
No.
What's Aaron Judge?
That's fair. 6'7".
Aaron Judge is taller, right?
Two or three inches taller.
And he's got really good speed, too. I don't think enough people value Aaron Judge's speed out there. But for me, I would prefer Cags at first, but that's just me.
He's play outfield. You got nobody in right field right now that can play that position any better than he can, right? I mean, he's playing right field. He's playing left field. Yes, he's playing first base, but that's because there are people in the AAA system that can play that position better, but they will still keep him out there. He played flawless in the outfield for 5 straight games in front of the people that matter. Vinny will be just fine. He'll play first base and DH, and then when he does DH, Sal will play first and Jack will play right, because honestly, you play the position that you need to play that needs the most help, and you save a bat by having to trade a pitcher. So one word to describe his comparison to Pete Alonso, better. Horny. Look at Pete Alonso's first year as a rookie, 48 or 49 home runs. They went to the same high school. You know who else went to the same high school is Jack Caglione and Pete Alonso? Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, wow.
HB plant, baby. You think they know how to hit out there?
I know that I'm hard.
Better believe it.
I just saw that Angel Reese documentary that you told me to watch from last night.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong, was he?
I mean, that's like watching middle school basketball.
Yes.
It's middle school.
It is.
It is middle school basketball. Doing? Somebody trying to play hero ball who should not be playing hero ball. She's going to wear on her teammates really fast playing that style of basketball. I mean, you got people open calling for the ball.
Yeah. Hey, hello. You got 4 defenders around you.
Yeah, she has 3 defenders around her, and that means there's multiple open people on the floor, and it's just
doesn't care. Not
no
even
regard.
Looking.
Not even looking to do what's best for the team.
Last, our bald king Dan Quinn had this message for Salisbury graduates. One word on this:
steak.
Which leads me back to where we started and the four words I wish I was told when I was in your chair. And now I live by. So, ladies and gentlemen of Salisbury University's class of 2025, let it rip.
One word on our guy, Dan Quinn.
Well, I think he should do a better bleep job on that, but
epic.
Epic, yeah. I think that's really good. It'll allow somebody to have fun at the graduation instead of being all stuffy shirts, which is going to be my Richard of the Week.
Oh.
A little tease there.
Oh, we had a great graduation episode.
My Richard of the Week will be something that hits close to home.